Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Daniel Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith.
And we are joined today with Joshua Lewis Smith for a Questionable Internet Opinions.
Hooray!
How are you?
I am, I don't know, it's a Monday.
It is
Which Monday. I mean, here I'm not at work, so I guess I'm happy, but it's cloudy. I don't have a job yet. I have a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
See, I have the reverse problem. My problem right now is that I just have too much job. We had the weekend from hell.
Yeah, it was a long weekend. If you are a member of the Chicago Area Classical Singers Group, which I'm sure you are, you probably like got a taste of what our weekend was like.
All right. Yeah.
We were in that box. Although it worked out really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were in a production of the St. John Passion, and our alto soloist dropped out last minute.
Like on the day of.
And it was like, you know, it happens. Like,
yeah.
It sucks when that happens, but like singers have to take care of themselves. And I'm glad that she like practiced self-care instead of like coming in and dragging her poor self through that whole thing. That
right.
would've been terrible. But we instead worked with a professor at Northwestern whose name is escaping me, which
yeah.
I feel really stupid
And she's
about.
Really well known to people that went to Northwestern.
Yeah.
I don't know her name, though. I think it was Kathleen Brunson.
Catherine Brunson.
She was fantastic,
she's
too.
She's so good. She came out of retirement to do it.
Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah.
No, she was phenomenal. I just had a hellishly long weekend.
Yeah.
The whole experience yeah.
Well, so we had the dress rehearsal Saturday morning, then you worked from like right after the dress rehearsal to 11 o'clock at night, and then you covered, because I had to work Sunday morning for Philip, so uh-huh. you covered my cantor schedule.
I sang two masses.
And then you had to hang around Niles until the performance.
Our call at 2.
Yeah.
And then we had the St. John Passion performance.
Right.
Jeez.
It was too much.
Yeah.
So we're here, and it's Monday.
Yeah, and it's Monday. I also have a very different perspective on Mondays, because my jobs are all Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whether it's with going down to Hyde Park or working at a church, not because I'm religious, but because it's where the money is.
With that sweet Jesus money.
That sweet Jesus money.
I told the substitute pianist during Mass that I'm a paytheist. Which I feel pretty good about.
Yeah. yeah. Sorry, I don't know why we're railing on, but anyway, so Mondays for me are generally my like what a Saturday would be to other people.
Yeah.
It's like I'm gonna wake up at 10 or 11. You know, I made some switchel this morning. I'm eating leftover ZD. I'm just watching TV until rehearsal, making a podcast.
Monday is my first day of disappointment of the week. It's when I wake up and go, oh, maybe today the staffing agency is going to find a job for me. And then every hour check my email and go, nope. Okay.
On another note, if you are hiring, Joshua Smith, he's fantastic.
I'm your private dancer. Mm-hmm. Dancer for money.
And his other body is a withered old crone.
That is my sweatshirt today. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Good.
Yeah.
So we have some podcast business to take care
of. We have so much listener mail.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Like, I love our listener mail this week.
Okay, so I'm gonna do the first one.
This first listener mail is something that Daniel will read.
Yeah. And then we'll get Josh's thoughts on it after.
Oh.
The first listener mail is from Tierra Burge.
A donor.
Bay. Yeah. A donor. She and I lived together for a while. She was on the show. She's great people.
She's amazing.
Dear Daniel and Maureen, I was just listening to the podcast. Maureen mentioned that her birthday was coming up, which I already knew, but I definitely needed the reminder. Now, Daniel can tell you how I feel about birthdays. I fucking love them. I love celebrating the people who are in my life. I immediately began racking my brain for gift ideas. With March coming to a close, my bills are taking all of my money. So I decided that publicly humiliating you / singing your praises would do for now. I do not have the words to adequately describe my love for Daniel Johansson. He is the brother I never had and has been one of my best friends since our first trip to Dairy Queen shortly after we both moved here. I had French fries because I think I was vegetarian at the time, like not vegan. So I could, but I think I literally just ate French fries. So naturally, he's as a protective big sister and friend, I was a little leery. I'm a little leery about the other people who come into my friends' lives. I don't want to be forced to spend time with some bozo, and I definitely don't want to see my friends get hurt. If you mess with my friends, I will end you. Enter Maureen Smith. I remember Maureen and Daniel's budding friendship. I remember Daniel telling me about their first kiss. I remember coming back from winter holiday in Idaho, and suddenly they were inseparable, and I had a bit of a moment about having to share my best friend. But I knew from the second she entered our lives that Maureen was a straight-up gem. I feel incredibly fortunate that I get to call such a one woman a friend. I'm in constant awe of Maureen. Every little thing about her just makes my jaw hit the floor. Her wit, her humor, her intelligence, her kindness, her talent, her passion, her generosity. I could go on and on. I honestly could not have chosen a better partner for my dear brother if I had tried. And I cannot thank you enough for your friendship. I am beyond thankful for this podcast because it allows me to get to know my fellow Chicago creators and artists in a way I never have before, and it gives me more of a platform to celebrate them and cheer them on. But more than anything, it allows me to get to know Maureen and fall even more in love with her brain and her heart with every episode. Scoppy is inspiring, hilarious, warm, welcoming, and courageous, just like her. Maureen, you are a gem and a treasure. I'm immensely proud of you, and I cannot wait to see what beautiful and inspiring things you bring to this world. I am confident that I can speak on behalf of all of the Scappy Mag listeners when I say that my world is far better with you in it. Oh. You deserve all the happiness and love this world has to offer. I hope you have a wonderful birthday. Bucket ducks for life.
So, Tierra mentioned a moment that we had at the very beginning where, like, I understand that, like, you know, a best friend gets a girlfriend and all of a sudden it's like a different thing. But we had a kind of like we had a summit about it, and she took a page out of a coloring book where there were two ducks in a bucket, and she was like, so thankful for you. And so now we're bucket ducks.
That's very cute. Life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Bucket Duck. That was so incredibly nice. Thank you so much, Tierra. And if anyone else wants to write an ode, feel free. Because that was thoroughly enjoyable.
Good, I'm glad.
Maureen, what I have to say is that if I were a dragon, I would hoard you with my treasures. Piles of gold and gems and skulls and Maureen.
And Maureen.
Hey, people out there who are wondering what to get for me for my birthday, how about a subscription to Scoppy Magazine?
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, nothing makes me happier than those notifications. I also love dachshund-related things, but if you really want to make my birthday something special, become a donor, and I will be so immensely happy.
So here's what I want to say, and this is something that we were talking about before we started recording, is that I found a used, like, 8-year-old model of a 4-input mixer.
Ooh,
so for like $120.
So we could have more microphones.
Yeah, and so the Scoppy Kitty right now doesn't have enough to cover that. We're about $50 short. Oh, you know how much money we have. Oh, God. what I was going to say is that I'd love to make that happen sooner rather than later. And so I actually wanted to do a little bit where we talked about, like, what each amount of money would mean to Scoppy right now. And so the first I'm going to go with is that $50 would mean that we'd get that.
Yes.
And that is not a crazy goal. And I think that's like a logical thing for us to do.
If our if we got, let's say, $250 more,
yeah,
we could get 2 more microphones.
That would be a big deal.
That's huge.
That would be a big deal.
Yeah.
Which we would need to do anyway with the mixer, but
Yeah.
But that way it's not coming out of like my tip money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
If we get to like $1,000, we can launch this really amazing project that we have coming up this summer.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're working to make it work no matter what, but that would be the way that we can do it
for sure.
Comfortably and not hate ourselves doing it. Because what we're talking about doing is this thing called a summer residency, and we're doing it with Emma Cox's church, St. Paul and the Redeemer, down in Hyde Park. They've extended to us a really affordable rate for rentals. And we've already set up like a few projects, and we're shopping for grants now. Just like kind of looking at things that we have, a few projects that we're thinking about. And so we're looking to see which of those things fit into different grants. So obviously that's one way that the thing can be funded. Also, it could be funded like out of pocket or something terrible. But also, the summer's still a few months away, so subscribers would be a huge deal to that end, because that would basically end up for like...
At our current subscription level, by the time of our first concert, our company, if we don't buy anything, our company kitty would be up to...
Like two...
250.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
is not nothing. And,
exactly.
And like, it's incredible that we're like 2 months in, or... Yeah, like a month and a half in,
right,
and we're at that level already. Like, it's I'm floored.
Yeah, honestly. And I will say that the reason why we've like went and we're like, okay, we can start talking about something like this that costs a budget is because we have the donors we do.
Yeah,
and so on that level note, I want to thank them for that, because it's, you know, it's so exciting to be at a point where we can go, well, we have this really great idea, like we have we've been approached with a composer's work on like the last breaths. It's called Last Breaths. It's the last words of Black men shot by the police since Rodney King. And I've reached out to a Black baritone friend of mine to actually sing them. And we're trying to set up all of that. And
we
want to
get Brendan involved.
Yeah.
So we're really working on curating like a really wonderful summer of like thoughtful work.
Yeah.
It's, you know, but we can't do it without your help. I'm gonna put my normal plea for donations at the end.
Yeah.
But you know, especially now that, you know, we've been talking for so long about wanting to build.
Yeah.
And wanting to grow, and we've gotten to that point.
Yeah, we're like on the cliff edge of diving deep into like figuring out what we can really do with this platform, which is really exciting and also scary. So thank you so much for listening as much as you have so far, but also like donate more.
Yeah. but like, you know, donate at all.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Which brings us to our next point. We actually have a new donor.
We do.
Mr. Joaquim Lewis.
Yay!
Love him. Yeah, he has not been on the show yet. I'm sure he will at some point. We co-founded or co-restarted the new Opera on Tap chapter. So that's been going on for 3 years. Yeah. He stepped down from that about a year ago, and now he's doing a bunch of different stuff. We're both singing in a Bohème coming up, which I'm sure we'll have someone on to talk with about it eventually. But he also wrote in an email.
Yeah.
Hi, QIOers. I found your discussion in regards to Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's opinions interesting. It reminded me of an article that I read, which talks about Samuel L. Jackson's opinions on the actor who starred in the movie. Then he gives the links. It brings up ideas of identity, of which, being Filipino-American, I have my own identity conflicts. And I thought it would be an interesting discussion. Basically, Jackson brings up the idea that a Black American actor has a different experience and would have been a more realistic person to cast. Anyway, keep up the awesome work, and I'll see you all soon. Joaquim.
So, this morning I took a look at that article, and it is extremely compelling.
Yes.
It is, you know, amazing points are brought up of representation. Basically, Samuel L. Jackson had an issue with, what's his name? I'm going to pull up the article. Hold on. With Daniel Kaluuya, starring in Get Out, as an American man. And the article goes on to offer different scenarios where Black Brits have been cast as African Americans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are points from all sides.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt weighs in for some reason.
Well, thank God.
Yeah. You know, the voice of a generation, Brad Pitt.
And I think that's what happened is, like, we read that and we started trying to talk about it. And then I think I brought up the idea of, like, oh, well, that's interesting from a diaspora angle from what we talked about with Brendan.
And we were like, no,
we can't do this. So where we kind of landed is that we're going to post the article up.
Mm-hmm.
Open discussion. We'd love to hear from everyone.
Everyone should read it. Yeah. Even if there isn't a discussion, everyone should read it because we talk a lot about representation. And this article brings up a lot of really amazing points and a perspective that, like, as white people, we don't really think about is the difference, you know, the cultural difference between Black Brits and African Americans.
Right.
And so, it is a must read. It is a Scoppy Radio must read. Mm-hmm. So we're going to put that up soon. Thank you so much, Joaquin, for bringing that to our attention. It is so compelling. I'm so glad that that is in my, you know, within my spectrum now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad that it's been brought to my attention.
Yeah. Yeah, and also basically, and this is probably a weird ask, but we were also saying that we'd love to have a non-white person onto a QIO to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's, I know that's a, I don't know how, if that's an, like, the best way to word that. I think it's okay, but anyway.
I mean, basically, we want to have people, like, that's one of our mission statements is having underserved perspectives exactly. represented on our podcast. And
yes.
So I think that, you know, the three of us each have different perspectives. Daniel is a white, cis, straight man. I am a white, cis, straight woman. Josh is a white gay man.
Yes.
Crony. Yeah. And And so I think, you know, so we all have our own stories to tell, but we want to tell everyone's story. So if your story is different than ours, come on and tell it.
We'd love that. Nothing more than that. Please do. Yeah.
And we have one more email. Josh, do you want to read it?
Sure, I'll read an email.
Yeah, cool.
So it's tiny text. My phone is being weird about
emails. So you just have to kind of zoom in and then...
And move it around. Yeah. Okay, well, this is from our great friend Emma Cox. Dear Scampy Scoppy crew, I was perusing the city's page to take a look at the upcoming summer festivals and noticed a ton of music festivals that aren't Lollapalooza, thank God. Could you maybe do an episode in late April to tout some of the upcoming summer events or to bring on some of the groups that'll be performing, dancers, jazz artists, etc. I'd love to know more about what they're doing, where, and when to find them, M.
The answer to that is, of course, we would love nothing more. So we're going to be perusing city's pages. We're going to be reaching out to people. We have been reaching out to people. Mm-hmm. If any of you out there know of acts that are coming in this summer that are not being heavily featured, please put us in touch with them. Mm-hmm. We would, you know,
or even link us if it's something like, I mean, like, I know about, like, Riot Fest, and I think there's a couple folk festivals and stuff like that happen over the summer. But even if you think it's something we would know about, say, like, oh, just to be on your radar, this is the thing that's happening, because a nudge in a direction of finding reaching out to a festival like that and reaching out to a festival organizer is a really great idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the answer to your question is yes. We are currently in, you know, working on that.
Yeah.
And we're, yeah.
Cool.
So that's listener mail.
That great. Is listener mail.
So we did something a little bit different this week. We decided to, I just got an email saying, just got an email that said, okay, so you've gained weight. And I was like, what? No, I didn't. Okay, fine. It just threw me off. yep. Putting my phone down.
I mean, since childhood. We all have.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely not the same weight I was like when I was 8.
Yeah.
Gained a lot of weight since then.
Yeah. I've, like, you know, times my body weight by 20 from when I was born.
You could even say that all my teeth are different.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree that we're different people
yeah.
and that we are much fatter than we were as babies.
Yes. I am like 10, at least, nope, more than 10 babies. I'm like 20 babies.
Before we get into a thing, can I do one thing real quick and shout out ResistBot again?
Yeah.
Because I love that thing. I've been doing it every day. Thank you so much, Emma Cox, for that, because it's fantastic. If you haven't done it yet, do it, because it literally just asks you for your zip code. It tells you, these are your senators, yeah, these are your representatives. Text us a letter. And I've been writing letters to my representatives for a whole week. I've written 7 letters.
Have you been doing that too, Josh?
No, but I'm going to start.
It's good. Great. And like, I was really skeptical. I've been
engaging in other ways, but I like that because it just makes it easy for you.
Nice. Easy. You did something where you were faxing.
Oh, I just straight up faxed Mitch McConnell. It was so fun.
Good.
And Dick Durbin too.
No, I called every one of Dick Durbin's offices.
Oh, nice.
Good.
Which was also satisfying.
Love that. Yeah, no. Yeah. Everybody get ResistBot.
And especially right now, it's really helpful because the House of Representatives, for me, I don't know if all of you are like, you know, people that care about healthcare, but that HR 676 is coming up. And I think that's getting introduced today if it's not being pushed until next week.
Is that the single payer thing?
Yes, the single payer healthcare, which is a big deal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the House, I think, might be voting on that today or next week, either today or next Monday. It was supposed to be last Monday, and then it was this Monday, so it might be next Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. So wow. that's my piece.
So we decided to go into this cold this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I have a tweet I want to read.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, it's so good. So this, I think, contextually, I figured out that it's a tweet from an old white man, and I think he's a conservative radio host. His name is Brian Fisher. He's the host of the Focal Point radio program on the American Family Radio Network. So that sounds pretty awful.
I can't stand radio shows that so clearly don't have a point. Like, no. Focal Point doesn't sound like anything.
No, it's
like
not a thing. But this tweet is gold. So it's worse. I don't think I've read it out loud yet. Sorry. Worst example of cultural appropriation ever. LGBTs stole the rainbow from God. It's his. He invented it. Genesis 9:11-17. Give it back. I couldn't make it through reading it.
Those pesky gays.
Those pesky gays. There was, of course, there were some, like, really good responses, like, oh no, the loathsome gays, they're hoarding all the light refracted through water vapor in the entire world. How do we know that they're not just stealing all the water? it's so amazing to me, because I think that just... That tweet is just like all of like fragile heterosexuality and masculinity.
Yeah.
There in a tweet by an old white man.
That actually brings up an interesting point. There has been a resurgence of white men claiming that they are being marginalized.
Oh yeah.
For instance, Milo, I don't.
What Yiannopoulos.
Yiannopoulos.
Yeah.
Milo Yiannopoulos.
Living dumpster fire.
Living dumpster fire has started a scholarship fund.
A grant
for white men only.
Yeah.
It is called the Privilege Fund.
Yep.
And they are, touting. They are saying that. Low-income white men are not are like undervalued in society
yep.
these days, and that they need financial assistance to get post-secondary education. Which I would say that low-income people, as just people, need help in post-secondary
yes,
education.
Absolutely.
But to have it only be white men is clearly just like.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like it's just so clearly it's clear what he's doing. It's just like a big troll move, and it's so apparent.
Well, because the thing is, too, is that like if you were really trying to help people, you wouldn't be giving them a grant for $2,500.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that they're $2,500 grants.
You're not going to... For post-secondary education, which you're talking about like grad schools, where if you're going
into... You can buy some books for that, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a dick move, and it's clearly supposed to be a dick move.
I think that what should happen is that white men from progressive organizations should apply for that grant and then get the money and then donate it to good causes.
Well, I guess that's the thing that's interesting though about a $2,500 student grant is that I feel like there's a weird implication that the person would have already figured out their tuition for some reason. Like, because tuition's so expensive. It's like $40,000, $50,000 a year, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, the private
institution. And so, like, if you're applying for a $2,500 grant, like, you've already got the rest of it kind of figured. I mean, obviously, there are people that just apply to everything and hope that and all of them together add up to a tuition. But I don't think white men are doing that. I don't know. And it just, for some reason, it also weirdly, and maybe this is not entirely related, but it reminds me of the idea of, like, picking up a part-time job while you're in school to cover all of your bills or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's no way working a part-time job that you're going to cover the like, exponentially expensive cost of going to school, especially for post-secondary education.
I love that. That's my favorite lies. No, it's not a lie, because it used to be true, right? You used to be able to do that. And then people will tell our generation, people tell millennials, like, oh, well, I just paid for school. I worked. And I was like, was someone going to give me $50,000 a year a job while I was in school?
Yeah, right.
where did you find that? Did you do it on your paper route?
That's like, I'm here to tell you that I also worked through my entire college education. I worked at a cafe 3 days a week when I was a full-time student. And you know what it got me? Enough money to buy beer.
Yep.
And that's it.
Working a deep fryer for 11 an hour during grad school. Yeah, that paid for my... No. Even when I was... Even the weeks I was working full-time, that wouldn't pay for... Are you kidding? I could barely pay for rent that way.
Or like saving up for car ownership is a thing that people could do over a summer.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
That's cute.
And you're just seeing all of these articles, more and more articles about this generation of people that are like 20 to 30 right now, like millennials, that aren't buying houses, that aren't buying cars. And, 50, 60-year-olds are like, oh, well, they're just non-committal and they don't. And it's like, no, you fucked us over.
The only thing you in the world, I want to own property. Over. It's like my number one goal. I don't think I'll ever own property my entire life. But the idea of like buying a condo on the lake is like my favorite thing. And I don't mean in like a bougie area.
No,
I will buy a shack on a river. I don't care.
And I would be so excited. Yeah. This is my shack. But that's just not realistic right now, and maybe ever. I don't know. Hopefully one day it will be for me. But the thing is, I'm 30 and not even counting on that, and that says something.
You know what?
I have multiple degrees.
Yeah.
You know what will be a great positive to nuclear fallout? Land will probably be pretty cheap.
True.
Less competition.
Sure, you'll have a tentacle growing out of your neck, but you know.
But we all will.
Yeah.
That's just the flora and fauna.
Yeah, I mean, like,
of nuclear fallout.
Neck tentacles.
We won't be judged on whether or not we have deformities, but our deformity is better than other people's deformities.
Like, it's not about what your deformity can do for you; it's what you can do for your deformity. Anyway, sorry.
Oh man.
Yeah, I think this always reminds me, this kind of conversation always ends up coming to where I am extremely relatable to, which is being a poor singer, because there is nothing more prohibitively expensive than the career of being a singer.
Yeah.
I love it, because anytime I look at work that's not music related, which I of course have to, my mom's like, but why don't you just try to get this job or that job? And I'm like, I did. It pays me $300 once.
Yeah.
That like barely covers my health insurance for the month. I mean,
Or what? Like, my parents have frequently, and I think this is a great idea from, like, looking at it from an outside perspective, the idea of, like, why don't you just reach out to a restaurant and perform at a restaurant? And it's like, I've been doing that for 3 years.
Yeah.
And we don't make any money doing it because we don't make enough money to do it. And, like, restaurants don't have enough of a budget to, like, swing for it. I mean, maybe some do, obviously, but, yeah. You know.
But most of their staff is making $4 an hour plus, you know, it's not like there's...
Yeah. Right. $4 an hour. Jesus Christ. Right. Yeah. But they're getting tips, budget. Though, you know.
Well, no, I mean, servers.
Yeah.
Servers, that's what they make.
No, yeah, I know. But that's what I mean. They're, like, making tips. And more people are coming out as, like, I don't believe in tipping now.
I went to Europe this summer, and they don't tip in Europe, so...
Yeah, because their waiters get paid little wages. What?
That's what I like about... there's this restaurant, there's a vegan restaurant called Kitchen 17 in Lakeview, and they have a sign on their wall that says, we pay our staff a living wage,
yeah. So
you don't need to tip them. Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, there should be more restaurants that are, like... that value their employees to the point. And I think it's because it's a vegan restaurant, they just value life.
Yeah.
And so they're like, not only do we value animal life, we value our employees' lives. And so we're going to pay them enough so that we know that they can make ends meet.
Well, and it's because it always comes back to this game for me of like, well, if you're making $10 an hour, you'll definitely be able to afford rent. But it's like, that's...
No.
But like, that's not... enough. Like, it's not just like, look at your life, 50-year-old person that has a house. Like, don't you also have medical bills sometimes? Don't you also have to pay electricity and insurance and car insurance and gas and for your kids?
And also, like, you know, let's say you're making $10 an hour working 40 hours a week. That's $400 a week before taxes. After taxes, it's probably more like $320 a week. 320 times 4 is like 1400. Yes, I'm really bad at math. So let's say that you pay, you know, $600 in rent. So your monthly income after rent, half of your monthly income from working full time goes to your rent.
And then health insurance. Because if you're at a job making $10 an hour, you probably don't have benefits.
Exactly.
So you're paying $200 to $300 for health insurance a month.
Yeah.
And then how much money do you have left for groceries? And oh my God, do you have any money left to put into savings? You don't. You have
no savings. God forbid, if you have mental health issues and you want to go to therapy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, want a gym membership or something like that.
Or like your phone bill.
Your phone bill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then people go, why haven't you been to the dentist in 5 years? Because of this.
Oh, and also, like, if you don't have okay, let's say you do have a car, you have car insurance and gas that you have to cover. And if you don't have a car, then you have to pay that $100 a month for that CTA pass.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And then you have, like, the rich complaining about taxes. And it's like, well, do you know who's paying taxes on all of their income as soon as they get it because it's taken out when they get their paycheck? Live minimum wage people. Do you know who's not the CEO of that company? And like, fuck that. Like, that to me, like, speaks it loud and clear.
Well, yeah. And it's like, whenever I get a paycheck, because I have so many taxes taken out of it, it's like, it's hard to predict how much. I know how many hours I've worked, but I can never predict how much my paycheck is going to be. And so it's like impossible to budget what, you know, it's.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway,
pay your workers more.
Pay your workers.
All of those entrepreneurs listening to this podcast.
This leads me to another artist dilemma, I guess. Respect your fellow artists. I've seen a lot. I saw someone today on Facebook was looking for someone to do like a transcription of a song. Mm-hmm. They're like, who can do this like really cheap? I'm like, that's hard work, right?
Yeah.
And skilled work.
Yeah.
Don't pay for someone to do it if you need that done, or do it yourself.
I think that's really sorry, go ahead.
No, just because I think the artist and amount of artists asking for free sheet music of things. No, I mean, sometimes you just have to pay other artists, and it's a reality, because if you want other artists to pay you, which you ultimately do because you want them to hire you whenever, we have to support each other in the artist economy. Yeah. And sometimes that can look like bartering. I don't. That just bothered me.
Yeah. And there's also something to be said about being like, I need something affordable because I cannot afford it. And I
think that's one thing to be said about that, but don't. I don't. You know.
There's this weird tightrope in the artistic community of like people being accused of gouging, but also like needing to maintain a lifestyle. Well, and
I think some people do. I think some people do gouge. But I'm not really the people. The people doing transcriptions of music aren't exactly the people gouging.
Yeah, no, and I think that at a certain point, you know, there are at a higher level, there's some gouging. Oh, absolutely.
No, and that, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, like when it comes to, you know, application fees and stuff like that. I had a discussion actually. The substitute at my church job. He asked me, he was like, oh, so, you know, do you sing with Grant Park? And I was like, no, I was going to apply, but I couldn't afford the application fee. It was $75 and I just couldn't swing it.
That month.
And you know, if you can't swing it that month, then you can't swing it at all.
Yeah.
And he was like, application fee? What are you talking about? Because he told me he was like 72 and he used to sing with Grant Park. He was like, there's an application fee? And I'm like, yeah, $75. And he was like, are you kidding me? Ugh. Which, like, you know, having only been a professional singer since 2012,
yeah.
You know, and only living in the artistic community, like the professional artistic community for 5 years, there's always been application fees, but there used to not be, apparently, according to the substitute at my church job. Yeah. So, like, what happened? Mm-hmm. What changed?
Well, there's the amount of people trying to do it changed.
I know.
Fortunately and unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, and it's really interesting to me because when you work in a position where you're dealing with a group of classical singers, you have a really interesting spread of humanity, because I don't know the statistics to this. I'd be interested in at one point doing like a Gallup poll of all singers and like just kind of getting an idea of where people's income comes from, because it's an interesting cross-section of artistry and, you know, like living. And it's a lot of everybody, all of us have specialized education, at least a bachelor's degree. But then, you know, you go to a point like, well, how did you afford the bachelor's degree? And then already you start getting just extreme directions, because it's either a person that is now $50,000 in debt, or a person whose parents are able to afford to pay for them to go to school, meaning that not only can they afford, because it's not like a parent. I mean, you very rarely, I mean, and of course there is this middle section, right? But it is very rare that you have a person whose parents are like, well, you know, we saved up from when you were a toddler for you to go to grad school.
Yeah.
No.
So, like,
I mean, there is a, you know, there is the portion of the population that saved up for an undergrad, but, you know, in 1987, you know, grad school wasn't required for most jobs, but now in 2017. You know, a lot of high-level jobs, and I'm not even talking about in the arts, but a lot of high-level jobs won't even look at you if you don't have a grad degree. Yes. And so we have an entire generation of people like, yes, if you were fortunate enough to have parents who saved up money for you to go to your undergrad, congratulations, you were debt-free in your undergrad. However, now you have all this grad school debt.
And that's my experience, because my parents did pay for undergrad.
Yeah.
And I paid for grad school.
Yeah.
With debt. And I find it's very interesting because we live in a society that basically shames you if you don't get a master's, right?
Yeah.
But then they shame you for being in debt.
Yep.
I get that all the time. People go, well, why would you do that to yourself? Or why would you, you know, just go somewhere you can get a free ride? I'm like, because so many schools are giving free rides.
Yeah.
So you can fuck yourself. But I got a good scholarship. And that's, you know, and I still have a shit ton of debt. It makes me crazy, because I found that even when applying to schools, people were like, oh my god, just take out federal loans, they cover grad.
Yeah.
And then, even like the head of the financial aid for my school, and then as soon as we got to school, she was like, wow, you guys really shouldn't have taken out this many loans, because it's going to follow you. And it's a fucking racket.
Well, so my situation is that my parents covered a portion of my tuition.
Yeah.
And they said, you're going to take out this many loans every year.
Yeah.
So I left my undergrad with some amount of debt. And and then I moved home and I worked my butt off and like worked to pay it off. And then I received some inheritance money and was able to pay off the rest of it. So like my story is one of good fortune, pretty much. But I specifically chose not to go to grad school, partially because I don't like school. And I didn't want to. But also because I was like, I don't want to be in debt. And the fact that I have to...
That's fair.
The fact that I have to choose between, like, financial security and further education sucks.
Yeah. Well, so the thing I was thinking about going into this topic is when you get into...
I'm going to cut you off because I feel like a privileged fuck for having said that. Because I know that there are people out there that cannot afford even an undergrad. And I was fortunate enough to have an undergrad. And I know that grad school is a privilege. But I'm saying that education should be more affordable is my point. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm so down on my luck for not being able to pursue a graduate degree.
No.
Like, oh, poor me. No, I'm saying that, you know, it should be more accessible.
Yeah.
That all schools should be more accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make that clear because I felt like an asshole just
No,
then.
I don't think you entirely came off that way, but I'm also really glad you made that point because
yes.
I think that is really important. I think that's what a lot of progressive candidates really want, that is public education to be much more funded because it should be.
Absolutely.
I know the direction I was going in originally with this topic was talking about, I don't want to come back to like setting prices, but I think it's interesting when you look at something from the perspective of Grant Park, right? Where like if they're having people audition and they're paying $75 to audition, first off, what is a fair place to even set that rate, right? Because like, sure, yeah, you've got tons of people that are looking to apply and looking to audition. And like, yeah, maybe even, I don't know the statistics, maybe even half of them can afford that comfortably. And maybe they're covering, I don't know, flying somebody out or paying for a pianist or something. And
Nope. Application fees are too high. And the amount of people shoving into like 5-minute audition slots in an hour, you've paid that pianist's salary for a year. I mean, at $75 an hour, come on.
I agree, personally. I was trying to play devil's advocate. And
yeah, no, application fees are too high. And I mean, like, basically, my perspective is that if you cannot afford to hold auditions without a $75 application fee, then you can't afford to hold auditions.
Yes.
Especially, Grant Park is publicly funded.
Yeah.
Grant Park is funded by the city.
Yeah.
Sorry. I guess we're coming strong on
Like Grant Park, they do wonderful work. The people who, you know, it is a fabulous organization, but their application fee is too high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you don't pay to take a job interview.
No, and that's why I respect the Lyric Chorus auditions were free.
They were free.
As well, they should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
No, but I mean, like, you understand my surprise, because what audition is free ever?
No, I know, but these companies that actually, like, I'm not really worried about their financial well-being, quite frankly. It's not like a small, tiny, you know.
Did you see, so I went to go see a show at the Lyric recently, and there was this big presentation in the lobby where they were asking for $6 million because they wanted turntables for their ring cycle. And I just thought it was really funny because they were coming at it from a perspective of being really hard up, like, oh God, what is a ring cycle without turntables? Oh Lord, whatever shall we do? And I went to the show with my mom and we were just standing there. We were like, dude, like, how many productions of the ring cycle have there been without a damn turntable? Like, you need to, like, please, we need $6 million. Or else we will die.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But no, good for the Lyric for
not
charging for
it. Yeah. Did Bayreuth have a turntable?
Surely. I mean,
Wagner only wrote for houses.
Didn't you know that that written in like page one of Die Walküre is
yeah, fuck the Jews and
like and setting
have a turntable
setting no Jews.
Turntable.
Siegfried on a turntable. Jesus Christ.
I'm gonna, you know, as someone that's like into opera, I've never been a big Wagner fan.
No. I came around recently.
Really?
Because I saw Parsifal and thought it was garbage. Long, long Jesus-y garbage. And
it is very Jesus-y.
And then I saw Das Rheingold, and I was like, oh, this is fun.
See,
I like this.
I like what he did, like, with the nuts and bolts of his music. Like, I think that Leitmotif is a really cool... So Leitmotif is, for non-classical listeners, is a musical term where a character or an idea is assigned a particular musical theme. Like... In Wagner, there's like a sword leitmotif. There's like a love leitmotif. There's a leitmotif for Valhalla. And I think that that's really cool. And a cool exercise that we did in my music theory class was we listened to the last like 12 minutes of. Is Rheingold the last one?
No, Rheingold's the first. Götterdämmerung is the
last one. Götterdämmerung, yes. So the final opera of the Ring Cycle, and you could hear, it was all instrumental, but as you heard leitmotifs disappear, it was Wagner, because the last part of Götterdämmerung is where Valhalla is burned down, and basically the universe is burned down. And you can hear through leitmotifs different things getting destroyed by the fire as they fade away from the instrumental noise.
I think the saddest leitmotif is the turntable one.
Yeah, no. Oh, God, that turn... where it's just...
I personally
where it's just the slide whistle. That, oh, God, that slide whistle.
That slide leitmotif. Whistle.
What about Hitler's leitmotif?
Hitler's leitmotif is just...
the mustache.
It's just of a mustache, of a mustache. Way to bring it down, Daniel.
I had to. Oh.
Damn it.
Anyway, yeah. So application fees are too high. Lyric probably doesn't need a turntable.
But I'd really like to see a Lucia Mad scene where she's spinning the whole time.
Yeah, like what are they
just
gonna
the
do?
The whole time. And you just go, you don't trust.
it'll be like that Saturday Night Live skit where Will Ferrell is like singing It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, and he's on a turntable and it's spinning like three clicks too fast. Yeah. And he gets motion sickness and barfs on everyone. It'll be like that.
Oh.
Except Lucia's mad scene.
Lucia's mad scene.
Yeah.
We have a couple minutes before we have a couple minutes left.
I mean, you know. Does anyone else have a thing?
Yeah, I have more things.
Cool.
But
this is the most casual QIO ever, and I'm okay with it.
I'm fine with it.
We've had a long weekend.
No, I kind of was still thinking about, well, you know, that tweet when talking. I love talking about fragile heterosexuality.
Yes.
It's my favorite thing. So I have some friends from Massachusetts, from Boston, who liked a friend's dad, someone else's dad, and so that's why, you know, it came up in my feed, because that happens, and I hate it. And it was talking about how people aren't raising strong enough boys anymore.
Meh.
And they liked it, and then someone commented, well, not our boys, we're putting them through a boot camp. And I was like, this is how fragile your goddamn heterosexuality is. You think that boys have to, like, what... I'm sorry, it just blew my mind because it's like the straightest nonsense I've ever heard. Right?
Well, so, like, our boys aren't strong enough means that our boys don't have...
They're sensitive, I guess?
Yeah, like, our boys are, you know, their concept of gender is far too fluid.
It's far too fluid. And, and we haven't emotionally damaged them enough to the point where they don't feel like they can cry, so let's ruin them.
Let's ruin them by making them climb up a wall and have a large man scream in their faces.
Yeah, like that's a great idea. And that's,
let's put them through the industrial military complex real quick.
Let's just make sure that they're not in touch with emotions, but also let's make sure they have PTSD. And let's also just, toxic masculinity, man.
Yeah.
It just blew my mind that people like, oh, okay. Think that way.
What? I found this. This is relevant to what we're talking about. Okay. There's a comedian who I've since hate because it turns out he was emotionally manipulative to women. But he brought up this thought, like fragile heterosexuality. Yeah. And apparently there's a conservative host who, this is his advice, James Dobson, on how to how to ensure your son doesn't catch the gay. Do you know that name?
Yeah.
Really? So yeah, this is from like 2011, but this is the what he, I guess he wrote a book or something, or like a pamphlet on like what to do to your son. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the boy's father has to do his part. He needs to mirror and affirm his son's maleness. He can play rough and tumble games with his son in ways that are decidedly different from the games he would play with a little girl. He can help his son learn to throw and catch a ball. He can teach him to pound a square wooden peg into a square hole in a pegboard. He can even take his son with him into the shower, where the boy cannot help but notice that dad has a penis just like his, only bigger.
So, here's a fun fact. Gays love pounding pegs into holes. And seeing big penises in showers. Although, like, that's not, like, not our fathers. Just no. To clarify. Yeah.
That whole, more, like, rationality behind that is just insane.
Well, it's just so insane. It's like grasping at straws. Like, well, you'll be straight if you do manly things. And, like, I've, like, replaced the goddamn faucet at my parents' house. It doesn't make me straight. I didn't, like, fix that plumbing. I turned that water back on and went, oh, vaginas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not how it fucking works. Yeah. And it's just so sad.
Yeah.
It just... I mean, not really. I'm not shedding tears for these people.
No. No. And what's nice, so our week of shows, I'm going to pull up our calendar. We've got like a lady heavy week of shows and I'm really excited about it. Later today, Daniel and Josh are going to be talking to an all female contemporary music ensemble
called Noise Bias.
And I unfortunately have to work, so I'm sending in my best men to talk to the all-female contemporary ensemble, but it'll be fine. It'll be good. So that's going to go up on Tuesday. And then Wednesday night, we're talking to Proxilla Femina, which is a feminist music collective in Chicago. That's going to be a wonderful conversation. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking to Zafa Collective.
I'm really excited about that.
Can you talk about Zafa Collective a little bit?
They're just another contemporary music ensemble. I don't know too much about them. Yeah. I do know that they're mostly women.
Yeah.
The two people that are coming are women. Yeah. And that's also very exciting.
We will obviously do more homework on Zafa before they come on. But
insight into our world of setting up interviews. Well, our main thing is we do a giant spread of just everything that I see on Facebook and on social media or whatever.
And we contact a bunch of people.
I go, that one looks kind of cool. And then I message them and I'm like, you should definitely come on. And then they'll message back being like, great, we want to come on. And then I go like, who are you? And then I'll look and be like, okay, great. That's a thing.
Like,
and
good.
Then,
my gut instinct. And like, we've got great instincts and we've had killer guests on so far. Yeah. So it basically, speaking of hating toxic masculinity, get ready for a week of lady heavy shows. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
Woo!
It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
Joshua Smith is just a concept.
Nailed it. If you want to keep up with what we're up to, you can head over to scopymag.com. We'll have articles up, new articles up soon. Hopefully there are old articles there. You can see all kinds of different stuff. You can see all of the podcast episodes are linked there. Facebook, Scopy Magazine. Right now we're in the middle of a week. I've been posting up old photography that I've done 2 years ago. I think I have other Chicago photography, but I like really am nostalgic for this period of time where I was just like walking around Chicago when I was in school taking photos from...
Your photo of the Winter Garden in the library was so good.
Yeah, I really learned a lot about photography. Maybe it was 3 years ago now. During that time, I had a blast doing it, and so I've been posting them to our Facebook page, so please check them out. I'm really proud of them, and it's fun for me, because it's just, you know, like, oh wow, that's so fun, like, I just would be exhausted from class all day and get a coffee and walk around the downtown Chicago, which was really cool, and I'm very privileged for having that experience. You can also find us on Instagram, at Scopy Mag. You can find us on Twitter, at Scopy Mag as well.
And I'm here, as always, to emphasize the importance of donations. We talked about this earlier in the show, but I'm just going to bring it home. We have so many ideas. We want to do so much, and we are, you know, we have the ability to do it. We have the, you know, we have the artistic community to really make some really awesome things happen. Mm-hmm. We just don't have the money to do it.
Yeah.
And that's where you guys come in. Every little bit, you know, every little bit counts. We have a bunch of $5 a month donors, and now we have a bunch of $5 a month donors, a couple $25 a month donors, and like we're at $75 a month right now. I'm just going to be candid about how much we're making a month, and it's incredible. Like it takes so little from the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Our lowest level is 5, you know, after that is 10, then 25, then 40, then $100 a month, which is crazy, but someone out there will do it, right?
One day, maybe. Yeah, somebody's donating $100 a month to something somewhere.
Yeah.
So why not us?
Why not us? So, yeah, and, you know, it just means the world to us. And, you know, like I said, my birthday's coming up. So if you wanna get me something nice, get me the gift of, you know, your monthly support.
Mm-hmm. Or something with a dachshund on
it. Or something with a dachshund on it. Yeah.
Cool.
Like a blank check with a dachshund on
it. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, give a little. Oh, go to scopymag.com. That's how you can donate. There are donate buttons all over that bud. I recently went in and just put donate buttons everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's so mostly donate buttons.
Yeah. It's not really website it's, yeah, anymore.
There, what I did is I deleted the articles and I just put donation buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a website full of donation buttons. That's not true. There
are articles. Web 3.0. Only donation
buttons. So, yeah, give a little, give a lot. And if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Thanks again so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.